If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me.
But a few years later, passionate obedience to God has dissipated. We ought always, always to pray in crisis or not in crisis. And we ought always to trust in the calm and not just in crisis.
This is Wings of the Morning, a program designed to help you soar above the clouds of another day on the wings of faith and prayer. Wings of the Morning is brought to you every Sunday at this time on WDEL under the direction of the Reverend Thomas Lehman, President of Sunday Breakfast Mission, Wilmington, Delaware. And now, here to share the good news of the gospel, Reverend Tom Lehman.
Thanks, Jerry. And my friends, when a crisis hits, most of us seek help. Make it deep enough, crisis, and the help we seek is God. Whether or not we even regularly put our trust in Him or even act like He exists. On a recent episode of Bob Hart's Abishola, Bob iterates precisely that. He doesn't worship God. He doesn't really believe in God. But he tells his girlfriend, sure, like when the plane he was riding in went into a particularly strong thunderstorm causing bumps and swerves and dies, he joined right in with the person next to him calling on God to save him from disaster. We have always heard of foxhole conversions. And after 9/11, religious service attendance seemed to spike. But like the sudden religion of foxholes, fear of death found religion can often be short-lived. Perhaps you have heard of Jonathan Edwards and the revivals in New England associated with his calmly presented sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. The response to that sermon was not calm, but excited. And revival touched every family in the town and region around, not just the congregation. But a few years later, passionate obedience to God has dissipated. We ought always, always to pray in crisis and not in crisis. And we always ought to trust while in the calm and not just while in crisis. Well, we're talking about that today on Wings of the Morning. But right now, listen to the message of Jeremy Camp. Jesus saves.
Hope is here. Shout the news to everyone. It's a new day, peace has come. Jesus saves, mercy triumphs at the cross. Love has come to rescue us. Jesus saves. Hope is here, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song. Can be remade. Jesus saves. Sing above the storms of life. Sing it through the darkest nights. Jesus saves. Free at last, what a joyful noise we'll make as we join with heaven's song. Saves, raise a shout. Jesus saves. Raise a shout to let all the world know that Jesus saves. Shout it out to let all the world know that Jesus saves.
In the Bible, in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles 7, we read of the dedication of the newly built temple of God that Solomon built. In an extraordinary act of affirmation by God, it says in 2 Chronicles, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It goes on to say that when the Israelites saw this, they put their faces on the ground, worshiped, and thanked the Lord. Revival. But later, it says, when Solomon had finished everything, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, in anticipation of when people would once again turn their hearts away from God, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Why did God respond like this? Well, he actually was responding to Solomon's prayer in the previous chapter, where Solomon acknowledges rightly that it is inevitable that these revived people will, like their parents before them, turn again to sin. And because they do, God will allow enemies to defeat them, droughts to devastate their land, famines and plagues, blights, mildew, locusts, and grasshoppers to besiege them, and disease affect them. So Solomon pleads that God will hear and deliver them. Why should Solomon pray such? Because whether it was Moses, Joshua, or one of the judges that came before him, they all pointed to how God would and did use all those things to get the attention of his chosen people so that they would repent. So Solomon pleads to God, please hear us and turn these calamities back. So God responds, yes, if my people will repent and pray to me, I will hear and heal. First of all, about this passage, we should note that this is specifically stated to the children of Israel first. They are the ones called by his name. They are God's people. But I think it's safe to say that God is now and always has been desirous that all serve him. In no way does it lessen that the Israelites are God's. But all who submit to him through his son Christ Jesus can also be God's, even as the Jews remain his chosen people. So, yes, this can hold for all who call upon and are called by his name. And then, does God still use calamities to catch our attention? The rain falls on both the good and the evil, but all things are used by God for our good and our best to turn us from anything that hinders our relationship with God and turn toward him. In fact, as it clarifies, we should seek his face, that is, his presence, his Holy Spirit dwelling and controlling within us. But God's presence does not coexist, my friend, with sin or idols. If we hold on to sin, disobedience in our lives, the psalmist has already told us that this prayer, that is the kind that God will not hear. It will not be fulfilled. He will not hear our prayer. And there is no room for other idols, other gods, if we want the Lord in our lives. So very simply and clearly, like the Israelites, we must humble ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. And what is being wicked? Is it just big things like immorality, murder, stealing, or even big lies? No, it is all those and every other big or little ways in which we are not doing God's will and way. Every little lie, every little jealousy, every nasty word, everything that hurts God and hurts others. The good news is that if we do turn, repent, and trust God, asking for his face, that is his presence, it says that he will hear, forgive, and heal. And here is the great news. Because God came in the flesh, died on the cross, and rose from the dead, the presence of God, that is Jesus, took all our punishment. And if you ask for his presence, his face, that is the face of God, he will completely heal your brokenness and sin-stained life forever. My friend, you can do this. You can pray with me right now. Pray, dear Jesus, I am a sinner. I want to be your people. I turn away from my sin and ask you to come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, please call or write me. You can call me at 877-306-HOME. I'm always ready and willing to listen. You can reach me at Sunday Breakfast Mission or online at sundaybreakfastmission.org. I want to send you something to help you in this new life, and may God richly bless you.
You've been listening to Wings of the Morning on 1150 AM and 101.7 FM WDEL. You're invited to share in this ministry by addressing your communications to Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. That's Sunday Breakfast Mission, Post Office Box 352, Wilmington, Delaware, 19899. And listen again next week at this same time for another broadcast of Wings of the Morning.